Welcome to the Passporter Moms Podcast.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 84 of the Passporter Moms Podcast, Disney and Beyond. I'm Jennifer Marks, Passporter author and Passporter mom.
And I'm Sarah Varney, Passporter news editor and fellow Passporter mom.
The Passporter Moms Podcast is a weekly podcast for all travelers with or without kids. We serve up a healthy serving of tips and advice for vacations to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, and destinations in the U.S. and abroad. Welcome back from Adventures by Disney and D23, Sarah. We missed you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I've lumped it all in, and it's now just one big trip. The ABD23.
I saw that you were referring to, which kind of just fits all together. That's very nice.
Yeah, it's all sort of one big mush. Yeah.
So, how was it?
It was fabulous. It was fabulous. Yeah, the Adventures by Disney. For those of us who are really just Disney geeks. It was fantastic. I can't say enough about it. You know, just the backstage stuff and the access to things, and in my case, the Muppets.
Right, you got to go to Jim Henson's studio?
Yes. Yep, we did go to Henson Studios, which is just really amazing, and got to see just all, I don't want to give away too much because every trip is different. Every mm-hmm. Adventures by Disney is different, and you don't get to do or see the same things on every trip. So I want to keep some of the magic,
absolutely.
You know, other people might get to do some stuff that I didn't get to do. And we might.
We don't want any, unrealistic guest expectations. Yes. Very important. Yes.
Exactly. So, but whatever you get to do, I have to say, is truly magical. And the access is absolutely incredible. And we had the best adventure guides.
Cool.
There was two adventure guides on this trip with us, and there was only 29 people. So, they just do such a great job of taking care of you. And, every time I thought I was thirsty, somebody was handing me a water bottle or, feeling a little peckish. Ooh, here comes the basket of snacks. And,
nice.
It was just fantastic. So then when I got to the expo and I was on the trade show floor all day, which was so much fun, but I kept thinking, shouldn't somebody be bringing me water by now? it was a bit of a harsh, re-entry into reality. Right, I'm working. Oh.
And you did the backstage magic one, the one that's like backstage at Disneyland and Hollywood and stuff like that, right?
Exactly. It's Hollywood, Disneyland, and the California Adventure.
Okay.
So
very cool. How many days
absolutely
was that?
Absolutely just a fantastic time.
How many days was it?
Backstage magic is a 5-night itinerary.
Good. So it's one of the shorter ones then, right?
Yeah. It's definitely one of the shorter ones. And because of that, they're trying to cram a lot in there. So they keep moving. This is not for the faint of heart.
This is not a relaxing vacation sort of trip, right?
No, this is not a relaxing vacation. No, up at 7 a.m. hitting the ground running, no question about it. I think there's not as much free time built into this itinerary as there is to some of the others, because it is a shorter itinerary.
If someone wants free time, they can just tag some extra time before or after their trip at Disneyland and chill out.
Yeah. Exactly right. And we had a lot of people doing that. In fact, pretty much everybody that was on our group was headed right to the D23 Expo.
I'll bet.
I don't think single person that went home right on the last day of the trip, actually. Everybody was hanging out for extra days.
So how was D23?
Oh, my gosh. It's all a blur. It's a time blur. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. The booth was hopping. We had a giant Sorcerer Mickey hat made out of balloons that was sort of the centerpiece.
Cool.
You could see our booth from sort of all parts of the show floor, which was so much fun. It was just great. People were stopping by and saying hi and, saying they heard me on the podcast, which was fantastic. I absolutely loved it when people would stop me and say, are you Sarah from the Passporter Moms? it was quite thrilling for me. I got to, tons of celebrity sightings, just tons of celebrity sightings. I saw John Lasseter, and I saw David Arquette, and I saw Constantine Morales, who was one of the American Idols a while back, and he's on Broadway now in Rock of Ages. And I saw Scarlett Johansson and Robert Downey Jr. and the entire cast of the Avengers, and Billy Crystal was there.
Well, see, now I know who every single person you mentioned except for Constantine. So, hey, it's not so bad.
All right. I'm impressed.
That's cool. Billy Crystal, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, but we got a great look at some of the new Pixar things that are coming and some of the movies that are coming. I, of course, am most excited about Brave, which is the summer, I think, 2012 release for Pixar.
Oh, I haven't heard about that one. What's the theme?
Oh, it's Pixar's first female heroine, or protagonist, right, if you will. And it's Pixar's first sort of shot at a fairy tale recently.
Really?
So, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's I, of course, am completely biased because our hero is a Scottish princess with lots of red curly hair and huge blue eyes.
Aww.
She looks just like me.
Just like you. I look forward to that. That sounds really good.
So it was fantastic. So
very good.
And I love the as yet untitled, you know, pictures they were, you know, telling us about. This was very funny. Yeah. So the working title of one is the as yet untitled Pixar project about dinosaurs.
It's called the dinosaur movie.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Dinosaur movie. It sounds like they're going to be, so Cars was such a success, mm-hmm, that it sounds like they're going to be doing what he referred to as a transportation series, because John Lasseter said, so next in the series is Planes.
Oh, really?
Very similar to Cars, but this time it's Planes. And John Cryer from Two and a Half Men is the voice of Dusty, the hero of Planes. Okay. And it sounds like there's going to be more.
I'll bet Dusty is a dust crapper. Or dust.
Dusty the dust crapper. That's not the
crop duster. I can't.
Crop duster. That's what we're looking for. Dust
funny.
Cropper. I kind of like crop dust cropper, though. I could use one of those in my house right about now. Yeah.
Cool.
So it was very cool, and it was really neat to sort of be there for all those presentations, mm-hmm, and get a sneak peek. And so we got sneak peeks for Pixar. We got sneak peeks at Planes, and we got sneak peeks at Brave, and we got sneak peeks at Wreck-It Ralph, which is out, I think, in 2013, and it looks very cool. And so, yeah, just lots of sort of insider. And Pixar even brought cupcakes.
Ooh, cupcakes
for everybody because it's their 25th anniversary.
Awesome.
So, and you can't have a party without cake, you know. So they handed out little cupcakes to everybody, which is always
cool.
Good.
Yes, cupcakes are always good. Alexander loves cupcakes. We were just watching Cupcake Wars last night, in fact. Anyways,
I
know. Can we look forward to articles from you about D23?
Absolutely. There's going to be articles. And I sort of tweeted throughout the event, not as much as I was hoping to, but whenever possible. And there will be articles.
Stuff up on your blog, I hope.
There's stuff with the blog. Yep. I put my first blog post up today at mousefancafe.com.
That's awesome.
All kinds of places to read about it. So tons
very
of
good.
Fun.
Thank you.
But I missed you, and I heard the podcast last week, and you and AJ did a fantastic job talking about desserts.
Thank you. It was pretty easy to talk about desserts, and AJ was a great co-host.
Yeah, not
very easy.
Thank you so much to AJ for helping
you
out, and I actually bumped into AJ at D23 and had a chance to thank her in person. So
good.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
So, you know, what's news in the Disney world?
So news. So I'll start with sort of the news from the D23 Expo. There was not so much in the way of sort of brand new information, at least as it pertained to the Walt Disney Parks and Resorts. Most of it had previously been announced. But we did get a first look at the ride vehicles for all of the Cars Land attractions, as well as the Seven Dwarves Mine Train. We got a great look at the new castle for Shanghai Disneyland. Which is just massive. It's not princess specific. It's called the Enchanted Storybook Castle, and it's the largest castle at any Disney theme park in the world. It's multiple levels and houses multiple attractions.
Wow.
So there's a walkthrough attraction, there's a boat ride attraction, there's a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, and even more.
Wow, I bet that'll look really big. Like, you know, nothing like the little city castle at Disneyland. I know.
No, this is no little, Although people in Disneyland get really offended.
I know.
When
Disneyland
you call
is the first park. It really needs a big castle.
It needs a bigger castle, yeah. They get really upset, though, when you say
that. Oh, I know, I know. It's I know. Oh, well, sorry. That's my personal opinion.
Exactly. And then Fantasy Fair, which has sort of been at Disneyland for a little while in a very small incarnation, is getting a much bigger redo, and they're reimagining the Carnation Plaza Gardens stage area, and they're taking it and they're expanding it, and they're actually making an entire sort of princess focused village in Disneyland, and there's going to be meet and greet areas for each of the princesses in their own little houses, and then some evening entertainment
in their own little
as
houses.
Well, so.
Oh, that sounds really cute.
Yeah, totally so popular.
Yeah. Very cute.
So that was exciting. And then John Lasseter, who is the chief creative officer of Disney and Pixar Animation, actually got his start in Disneyland as the Jungle Cruise skipper. So, you know, the guy that's like, and now the backside of water.
I've heard that, yeah.
He actually has no photos of himself during that time.
Really?
And we're talking, this is the late 70s we're talking about, so... if you do, if you think you, you know, were on the Jungle Cruise with John Lasseter back during that time and you have the photo to prove it, you could win a trip to the grand opening of Cars Land and actually a private Jungle Cruise with John himself.
Oh, that would be so cool.
How would that be? So you can enter to win at johnofthejungle.com.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. So break out those old photo albums and take a look.
I know, that's right. Yeah. Go into your attics, pull out the old photo boxes that your mom had. Yeah. and then last but not least, so, you know, we refer to them as Mickey ears, or I refer to them as Mickey ears most of the time, but apparently that is no longer the correct terminology for those famous hats with the mouse ears on them. They're now called character ears.
Okay.
Character ears, yes, because it's not just Mickey anymore, folks. They've been playing with a sort of, you know, variations on the Mickey ears for years with the holiday ones and some different characters. But now they're doing an entire line of different character ears, you know, so to speak. So Dumbo's getting ears, Tinkerbell's getting ears, Woody's getting ears, Buzz is getting ears, Cheshire Cat's getting ears. Everybody's pretty much getting their own ears. So, and they're very cool.
They are, because I'm pretty sure I saw some on our March trip. I think that they had just were like soft releasing them or something, because I did. They're really, really cute, very colorful and iconic.
Yes. And so it's interesting because some of them have like almost like a face on them, like Tinkerbell and Dumbo, I think, have, and Cheshire Cat have eyes on them. And then a lot of them don't really have faces. It's more sort of conceptual and sort of.
Or things that you would strongly associate with that character, right?
Exactly. But they're very, very cool. And I spotted the Tinkerbell pair and want them. Those will be mine. Oh, yes. So that's pretty much it. And then in the newsletter this week, we have another article by the lovely Cheryl Pendry. I did hear you doing your Sarah impression last week. Very good, by the way. Very good. I was impressed. So Cheryl has an article this week on the nature-inspired design tour. It's a Segway tour at Epcot.
Cool. Great.
And then Melissa Suliak, who's a first-time contributor, has written a little article about things that she's considering. She's in the process of trying to decide when and if to take her kids on their first ever Disney trip, and sort of some things that she's using and tools that she's using to sort of help make the various decisions that go along
That. So, well, there's a lot of people out there who consider, should I take my kids to Disney? And they haven't been before, like so many of our readers and listeners have. Yes, so very cool.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of decisions to make, so... This is just her take on how to help make a few of them. So. The Passporter News is the weekly e-newsletter companion to the Passporter series of guidebooks that comes out pretty much every week on Thursday, although every once in a while, due to time zone changes and travel, it comes out on Friday. But it comes out every single week, we promise, and you can subscribe at www.passporter.com/news.
Awesome. Thank you, Sarah. And now I am pleased to welcome this week's special guest, Pilar Clark. Pilar is a mom times two and Windy City-based writer who moonlights as a social media strategist for Ogilvy Public Relations Worldwide. She is the founder and editor of One Mom Media and creator of Disney's Social Media Magic on Facebook. Welcome, Pilar.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here with you two this morning.
We last saw you in at the Disney Social Media Mom Celebration in March.
Yes, and I'm hoping we will all be there again to sit across the tables from each other.
Oh, I hope so.
I hope so, too, because that was a great trip. It really was.
That was fun.
So today we are talking about how to use social media to plan, anticipate, celebrate, enjoy Disney trips. I'm defining social media as Facebook and Twitter, of course, but also perhaps a little broader, as in message boards, blogs, YouTube, that sort of thing. So I'm just going to jump right in there. Pilar, how do you recommend to our listeners that they can use social media to like really get the most out of their Disney trip?
Well, I would definitely say there's kind of two tiers. For beginner social media users, Facebook is often the slower paced, more storytelling aspect of both of those channels. a great way to look at articles and experiences from other people. And Twitter is a great way to get responses quickly from people who can jump in and offer advice on planning or experiences or even places to stay.
Awesome. So I'm pretty familiar with Facebook. I use it on a daily basis. Twitter, not so much. I think the first time I ever actually used it was for the Disney Social Media Mom Celebration, in fact. Because I distinctly remember you posting something on Twitter, and you were sitting across the table from us, and I was like, I thought that was so cool. Like, I just saw her do that, and there she is. I just saw her. So not something you can usually do. But so for a person who is new to Twitter, can you explain how that would work?
Yes. For someone that's new to Twitter, in all honesty, it probably is going to seem like something crazy that you may not even want to start doing.
It's
very quickly paced. It's very fast. It all moves in real time. But the benefits are really great. I would say the best advice is to follow some of the names that you really like Walt Disney World and Disney Parks and Disneyland, to get an idea of how it works. Everything is limited to 140 characters, but once you can read those little sound bites, if you will, there's often links that go with them that take you to different articles, and it's a great way to work on planning and kind of adding. There's an at symbol, like when you write out your email address, and if you at the name, you can also ask a question of that park or resort, and you'll usually get some really great responses.
That's awesome. So it sounds like one good way to get your feet wet is to follow some people that you know or just have heard of. And I mean, I know that Sarah has a Twitter account that she uses, like, mostly when you're traveling, right, Sarah?
I try to post at least something on there once a day.
Okay.
I use it when I'm traveling, and I use it, you know, like Pilar said, I follow the people I'm interested in, like right. Pilar.
well, may I ask what your Twitter names are so that if folks wanted to follow you, they could?
Of course. Mine is actually, it's my whole name. So it's the at symbol and then Maria Pilar Clark. And my whole name is there on your message board. So I don't think I need
right.
to spell it out.
It'll
and
be,
then I
right.
also, it's long. And then I also have at Disney SM Magic, and that's an extension of my Disney Social Media Magic page, and it's really just a compilation of all the latest news from various media outlets, everything from official outlets like newspapers and magazines to blogs of folks that post daily on everything from food to experiences to closings to photos.
Cool. Sarah, what's yours?
I am Passporter Mom SV, like Passporter Mom Sarah Varney. So,
cool.
And yeah, like I was posting, you know, tweeting away from the D23 Expo this past week. So,
yeah. And if anyone searches on me, I do have a Twitter account, but I'm not using it. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend that you follow me because it'd be really boring.
But you know what? There are people that tweet a lot.
Yeah.
I'm always sort of intimidated by those people that just seem to be able to really get a lot of information out continuously.
Sarah, I'm not intimidating.
Not you. Although,
I was
my goodness,
say, I'm definitely one of those people that I would say tweets multiple times a day. But I'm always willing to answer a question or two, especially when it comes to planning.
Absolutely. But I really, like Pilar said, I find it really very fascinating, especially with Disney in particular, when there is so much information out there. And it's, you know, a Google search is great, but it gets you such a broad search. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't help you prioritize. And I find a lot of the people, if you're following the right people on Twitter, it really gets you the information you need quickly and really what's most important that you're most interested in.
Right. Yep.
I agree, especially because you can jump in and get tidbits from people and advice. And honestly, even if you're new, you don't have to respond to anyone. You can start to sort of get a feel by reading through and scrolling through. And the more you do that, I think the more it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about Facebook for, you know, for planning or just dreaming about a Disney trip? How do you use that?
Facebook is actually a fabulous way, I think, for planning, especially because I feel like links and YouTube videos and photos live on Facebook pages much longer than the quickness of Twitter. And you can go through and get comments from lots of different people who sometimes share their own experiences, and you can kind of even begin a conversation there. But the great thing, too, is links. So I've often found that Facebook is much more personal, so a lot of storytelling and these personal photos. And it can be a great way to sort of get off the beaten track recommendations, say for stroller rentals, or little secrets about food allergies while you're at the parks, because all those things have a more personal focus. And I think a lot of the pages on Facebook share those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep. I think that there's really a lot of information, personal information to be gained from Facebook, especially in the more you broaden your friend base, because, you know, you're really seeing the experiences and comments from your friends. And I'm just going to throw this out there, but, you know, I have like 600 people on my friends list, and, you know, I don't know most of them. They're not, I mean, people have different feelings about this, but I see this as like a very, very wide network. I don't feel like I need someone to be my, you know, close friend to be on there, because the more people I have in this big circle, the more comments and photos and links I'm getting, and I really like that. So, if anyone out there is thinking,
It's interesting. Okay. It's interesting to say that there's a kind of a big debate going on right now as to, you know, personal versus sort of open communication on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I personally, for my own Facebook, you know, the one that I share with family and friends, that's strictly private. I don't talk to work colleagues or anything like that on there. But I do also have a fan page on Media, and that's where, of course, anyone can come and join the conversation. But then I know, like you're saying, too, some folks have just decided to open up their page completely because it seems to be either easier or a better way of gaining a large network quickly.
Right. Yes. Yes, there are different ways of, and one way that people deal with that particular issue is to have two Facebook accounts, even though I don't know if that's technically allowed, but a lot of people do it anyway, so I'll just say that, and they have one that is for, you know, the close family and friends. They're really restrictive about who is on there, and that's where they share their photos of their children, and then they have one that is, like, you know, the all-out there page, you know, and
so. Well, I mean, you can have a personal page as well as a fan page. So those are two separate things. So I have a personal page, and then I have, you know, a Sarah Varney travel planner page. So I have both, and you know, because my personal friends, they know they can ask me Disney questions. They don't care necessarily that Free Dining came out today. They don't care necessarily. They just want to know, when does Ryan go back to school and what it was first.
Right.
Like, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it is important to, there's a difference between liking a page and friending a page. So.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Now, broadening social media to message boards. Message boards have been around for a very, very long time. I would say, you know, I was thinking they started back in AOL in the early 90s, but really they were even around before that as bulletin boards. You dial up on your modem. I don't know if you two remember that. That may be going back too far, but this is a very long history and very, I feel, very rich source of information. And often message boards posts stay around a very long time. And so it's great, you know, way to see the history of something. And in the case of like the password message boards, they come up very frequently in searches on Google. Often I've heard the story, you know, that, well, I found you because I was searching Google for this specific thing. And ooh, there you go. It came up, you know, this long thread about whatever the topic was that they were interested in. I am a big proponent of message boards. You know, they've been around for a while. But what do you think of message boards as a way of planning a trip, Pilar?
Honestly, to me, message boards are just this sort of fabulous old school archive. There's a beauty to them just because that information goes so far back, you know, to the beginnings of the internet. And I feel like I'm dating all of us here by saying that. I do remember the days when there was no internet to search.
Yeah, I remember that too.
Yeah.
Oh my! And the beauty of them is really the archives. I've come across some really interesting bits of information for Disney planning that I've sort of unearthed in message boards.
And I can't say I use them. I use them, honestly, more to look up information. But I like that it can go back so far, so you can kind of compare different experiences over the years and kind of see where things have come. And sometimes it's just a great way to reinforce basic Disney principles, you know, that you can see are still going on from year to year. So if you hear the name of some kind of generational gathering going on or something, you know, you can look that up. And if it still exists, there's kind of a nice consistency there.
How about blogs and YouTube videos? I kind of consider those social media as well.
I do love making videos, I have to say. I'm a big YouTube gal. And sorry, my daughter's announcing.
Oh, that's okay.
Sorry. Well, at least she announces at least. But
it's the Passporter Moms podcast. We get it.
Yeah, it's okay.
I will say this. With YouTube videos, I love to make them, and I've been making a lot about sort of rides and different experiences at Disney. And I always wished that those were on there before we'd gone. We're sort of veteran visitors now.
Yeah,
but even still, I wish sometimes that there were more. It would be great to see videos for rides maybe I haven't gone on, or some that I could show my son. My son has some special needs, and when he can see ahead of time what's going on, then it's a much easier way than to try and explain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just a really great way to share, I would say, another facet of what you're about. The videos I make, I made one for the Disney Social Media Moms, and, you know, it's just another great way to share in a quick way and more, you know, really fun way, little encapsulated experiences. And I think there's a beauty to YouTube with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love those ride videos. Actually, I love all Disney videos. YouTube is a great sort of resource for that. And then blogs. Like Sarah has a blog. You have a blog. I personally read blogs a lot. I really like their very more in-depth, impersonal impressions of something. Often, you know, more than you'll get from message board postings or Facebook. So I really like them because I like that. I like knowing what a person sees and does and stuff.
I like that too, because I think a blog can hyper focus on a specific topic way more in depth, like you're saying, than the little snippets on Twitter and Facebook. And you can almost get to know that person based on what they like to say.
Absolutely.
And you know, I'm like you. I like certain blogs that I visit every day for sort of fresh perspectives and different looks at things. And they don't necessarily have to be Disney specific, but it's just such a wealth of information. It's almost like a conversation with somebody day to day on the things they know best about.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm going to move on to our community corner. We have a bunch of celebrations and questions. Let's see. Our first celebration is from member Java Love Girl, who says, "We are going on an all-girls Disney vacation with my daughter Skye and our friends Dina and Katie on August 25th. Ooh, that's just
fun.
Coming up in a couple
like
of days. Yeah. All-girls Disney vacation. Yeah. And member Team Disney says, "Hello, Jennifer and Sarah. This is Debbie Ortiz, a.k.a. Team Disney in the Passporter community. As I type this, I am 6 days away from our family trip to Walt Disney World. We are staying at Port Orleans Riverside, and my family of four is very excited. For this trip, I have planned a special birthday dinner at Yachtsman Steakhouse for my 40th birthday. This will be our first dinner there, and I really look forward to it. However, not to be outdone, my husband just filled me in that he booked a very special dinner for me, too. What a shock. He didn't want to spoil the surprise, but he said that I need to pack a dress, that our children are not invited to this restaurant. He arranged for my Florida resident parents to watch them for the evening. Of course, we Passporter fans know what that means. Victoria and Albert." That's so cool. Wow. Never
know,
would have thought I would get this opportunity. Kind of makes turning 40 more palatable. Thanks for giving me another outlet to share my excitement, and also a moment to say thank you to my lifetime Prince Charming. And they are going on also on August 25th. So awesome, Victoria and Albert.
I think her Prince Charming needs to give all the other husbands some lessons.
No, kidding.
I know. I read stories like that, and I'm like, you're just spoiling it. You're making it hard.
I know.
Sarah has one of those.
Yeah, she's awesome. It's awesome.
I do.
It's so funny. She said that he didn't want to spoil it, but he then says pack a dress and the kids can't go. Gee,
wonder. Yeah. Could it be?
That's cute though. See, but it would be if he didn't tell her that she needed something fancy. Although then she could go shopping.
That's right. All right, and we have a winner for this week's podcast contest. Passporter member Mr. Toad is this week's winner of our listener contest. If you are listening, Mr. Toad, send an email to podcast@passporter.com to claim your gift certificate. We have three questions from listeners. Our first question is from Susie Q, 62982. And she writes, I am so happy that I found Disney gift cards at Walgreens and Target in our area now. I decided that I would buy some and keep them for tips at table service meals. I've read that you can do that. My question is, if we are on a dining plan, do we just give them the gift card and can they cash it in for their tip? So you just leave them the whole card or figure out the amount and ask them to take it off of the card? Anyone ever done this and know the best way to manage it? Thanks.
Well, that's never used. I haven't heard that before.
I must admit, I've never tried that. I always just put it on my card or give them cash. Yep. Sarah, do you have any ideas?
Yep, you can use the gift cards. They're just like a credit card. That when they bring you the charge slip, there will be a space for you to write the tip in, as well as what the suggested gratuity is, 15%, 18%, and 20%. They do the math for you. Even easier, though, is to just use the gift card to apply to your room. So when you check in, they'll ask you, did you want to leave a card on file?
Right.
You can leave those gift cards with them there and charge against them.
That would be better, because then if you have multiples, they could just stick them all on the account and add them all up for you instead of having a gift card and, oh, I think I've got $5 left on this one. That would be kind of confusing.
The other reason to do that is if you lose the gift card in the park, somebody else can pick it up and just use it. Doesn't ever
signature
on it, and has no security that goes with it, as opposed to a Keys World card, which has at least some level of security on it. So.
Yeah. And I don't think totally this leaving them the card would be such a good idea. I think that would be cumbersome for them to use personally. Yeah. I think that they would prefer, you know, that. Plus, I don't even know if that would be okay, because that would be like
to actually charge against the gift card. You wouldn't be able to just
exactly. Okay. Yeah. Good.
Well,
all right.
And if you think about it too, since they work at Disney, I don't really think that they would be able to use the gift card. So they'd probably appreciate the cash tip or the, you know, on the credit card as well.
Yeah.
Right. They might be able to, but not to like the extent that we as travelers hanging out at Disney World do, right? So.
Right.
All right. Our next question is from Ravensgirl76, and she writes that we are heading to see Osborne Lights on a Monday, and it'll be 10 of us all together. My mother-in-law is mobile, and she can walk. She just needs to take it slow. Father-in-law will be in a scooter, and I know my daughter will be in a stroller. Are there any tips or anything we should keep in mind to get the most from this experience? This is my mother-in-law and father-in-law's first and probably only trip to Walt Disney World at Christmas, so I want them to see and experience everything. Well, I have two things. One, they're not going to see and experience everything, but that's a nice thought anyways. Number two, Osborne Lights is really crowded. And, I mean, when you talk about being in a scooter and a stroller, I think you're going to, not to say that you shouldn't do that, of course, because that's what you need to do, but you're going to find it a little challenging with the crowd. So if that were me, I would be arriving as early as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to do whatever you can, you know, to maybe try to get a little ahead of the crowd and into another section or something, because especially also if there's a lot of crowds and people are sitting around you and people are lower in a wheelchair or a stroller, they're going to find it harder to see. This has been my experience like with Alexander and a stroller.
Everybody walks around looking up.
Right. So if you can, like, the focus, I think, is here to avoid the crowds as much as you can. I don't know what exactly day it is. You know, if it's earlier in the Osborne light season, it might be more crowded, you know, because the locals are more likely to come out and see it then. That's my thought on that. Anyone else?
I would definitely suggest to, even though her mother-in-law is mobile, the fact she needs to take it slow, it might be in her best interest to rent a scooter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because then she can keep up with the family and she doesn't have to worry about slowing folks down, or, you know, the group doesn't have to worry about the mother-in-law not feeling well or, you know, getting tired out.
Right.
And that way she can join the father-in-law as well.
Exactly.
And it might be better in terms of accessibility, so that, you know, as a group, when you all have scooters, sometimes that helps.
Yeah, and it's really easy to get groups separated at Osborne Lights, I've noticed. So since there's 10 of you, you'll want to like just keep that in mind and go with whoever is the slowest. Make sure you go at that pace. Don't go up a little ahead just to see something. Stay together. Unless you're okay being separated.
Yeah. It's really difficult to some degree because there is so much to look at, and it's everywhere. It's to the sides of you, it's behind you, it's above you, it's in front of you. And so everybody's looking in every different direction, and nobody's looking at their group.
That's right. Our last question is from Phoebe C., who says, my son has Asperger's, and we will be 10 on our next trip. He will be 10 on our next trip. He has a lot of food issues and will only eat certain things. The food on the kids' menus suit him great. We love, love, love the dining plan and want to get it next time for many reasons. I know we will have to get the adult plan for him because he's 10. My first question is, will they make exceptions to that based on a disability? If not, would I be able to request that he gets food from the kids' menu just in larger portions since he would have to have an adult plan? So he could order mac and cheese if they serve it on the kids' menu and just get a larger portion. That would suit him fine since he has a big appetite. It's just his menu of tolerable foods is somewhat limited. Thanks for any advice.
Well, I can definitely speak to that. My son is also on the spectrum. He's still little enough to go on the child's plan. But believe it or not, there are adults who only like to eat foods from the kids' menu. Mm-hmm. And Disney's really great about accommodating those types of things. If you just explain when you're reserving that this is a disability type situation, they'll do their best to help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Disney is really awesome that way.
And it's one of those things where Disney will always let you spend more of your money and cost them less, if that makes more sense. So your child's welcome to order off the kids' menu because you're paying the adult.
That's
does
right.
not work in reverse. So that you have a child who's on the children's menu and is paying for a child's dining plan, they're much less likely to let them order off the adult menu. But Disney will always happily let that go.
And the nice thing, too, with so many buffet options at Disney, honestly, you can eat as much as you like.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So you can have a whole plate of macaroni and cheese, without a problem. I get lots of adults to do that.
I've seen a lot of grown-ups in the kids section at Disney now and again, I have to say.
Comfort food is good.
Looking for the mac and cheese.
Well, there's lots of fans of the mac and cheese, definitely. Cool. Well, that's all of our questions for this week. If you would like to hear your question on our podcast, send an email to podcast@passport.com or post in our podcast forum or as a reply to one of our podcasts at passportaboards.com. And I have a discount code for those of you who are hoping to order like a cruise guide or whatever. It's 25% off the list price of any Passporter in our store for the next 7 days. And the code is SOCIAL, SOCIAL. You just type it, all one word, all lowercase, during checkout at PassporterStore.com to get your discount. And I want to remind folks that we do still have some $1 Passporters left. The response to that is amazing and really, but we actually did have a fair number of them, which is why we were allowing people to have up to 5. So if you want a $1 Passporter, which is last year's 2010 Walt Disney World Spiral only, no, not the refill or loose leaf or deluxe, you'll want to just go to passporterstore.com/store/$1 Passporter or click one of the links on our page. So they're all over the place. Cool. Well, thank you, Pilar, for joining us.
Thanks, Gal. This was fun.
Cool. Awesome. I really appreciate your tips and advice and stuff. Next week, I think it's probably Sarah and I. Sarah?
Yep, it's just the two of us, and so I'll probably be giving a little more detail on the Adventures by Disney and D23 than we were able to get into today. So
I would love to hear more about that. Okay, cool. So join us next week for more news, answers, and a look at Adventures by Disney. Listen to more podcasts at passporter.com/podcast. Talk to you next week. Mm-hmm.